Always enjoy having a chat with this gentleman, Captain Byron Bailey, former RAF pilot and commercial pilot with Emirates. We welcome him to the program this afternoon. Hello, Byron. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, Brent. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Welcome.
I wanted to ask you, this is a story that we woke up to this morning. A Russian pilot, he's being hailed as a hero for safely landing his passenger jet in a cornfield after it collided with a flock of gulls after takeoff. And this happened seconds after takeoff. It caused both engines to malfunction. Now, dozens of people on the plane sought medical assistance, but only one was hospitalised. They're comparing it to the 2009 miracle on the Hudson, of course, when Captain Chesley Sullenberger safely ditched his plane in New York's Hudson River after a bird strike disabled his engines. We don't often hear about this, Byron, the bird strikes on the engines.
Oh, it happens a lot more frequently than you think. I mean, I suppose over my career I've had about six bird strikes. One in a Learjet on approach where the engine is at a lower power setting, so it's not such a worry, and it just gets going down through the hot compressor section and you get this horrible smell of burnt shit coming, bird shit coming into the cabin.
Right.
But on takeoff where the engine's at very full power, it is a real problem because it's going to damage the engine. So, and it happens more than you think in actual fact.
Byron, is it a flock of birds that are going to cause the problem, or can just one bird cause the problem?
Well, a friend of mine 3 years ago in a large corporate jet taking off at night out of the Gold Coast took a flying fox in one engine, practically destroyed the engine, over $1 million worth of damage to the front. So if you took a couple of bats into each engine, you're going to be in real problem. A flock of birds is a problem too, seagulls especially, because they roost on the runway.
Right. Now, let me ask you this question. If one engine goes down on takeoff, can the plane still, I'm not suggesting it fly off to its destination, but if one engine goes down, the plane, can it still take off and fly around and land safely?
Oh, yes. All twin-engine jets are certified to a performance standard where at any stage between what's known as V1, where you can stop the aeroplane in the runway remaining, and any time from then on, you lose an engine, even while you're still on the runway after V1, you can still continue the flight at maximum takeoff weight and at 50 degrees Celsius, which is the flight envelope maximum. So they've got bags of performance on one engine, and the pilot basically has to get airborne and run his checklist and shut everything down and prepare and come back and do a single engine landing, probably after he dumps fuel to get the weight down. But, yeah, it's not a problem if one engine fails.
So obviously you've got to be extremely unlucky if you have both engines fail.
Oh, extremely. I mean, you know, and Sully, of course, picked the worst kind of bird, geese, because they're big, fat ones, and they're very heavy. So, it was seagulls, I believe, with the Russian one. Is that correct?
I think it was, yeah, a flock of gulls, as they say. Can I ask you, once the engine, how long does it take for an engine in a plane to shut down, A? And B, once the engine has shut down, how far can the plane, I'll say, glide along?
Oh, look, the moment you move the thrust lever into fuel cutoff, as it's called, out of idle, the engine just winds down immediately. If you wore some birds in an engine, it may keep producing some thrust for a while it destroys itself. But if you lost both engines, the glide ratio for most airline jets is about 16 to 1. So if you're 1,000 metres up, and you lost both engines, and you could convert a bit of speed to height, of course, and you'd glide for another 16,000 metres. So, you know, they glide very well, actually.
They do glide well, do they?
Oh, yeah, and the thing is, they all have this thing called a ram air turbine pops out the side and provides electrical and hydraulic power for the flight controls, emergency stuff. So, yeah, they fly really well.
Now, I'm not sure, in the story I was referring to, I didn't read it, but have you heard, did it also mean that the wheels didn't come down, so they had to land the plane without any wheels?
Oh, you would never land with wheels down on a rough surface because it means it's going to tear the gear off and probably cause the plane to slip or something. No, the forced landing you'd do in a field or on grass even, you'd leave the undercarriage up and slide to a halt. I think the pilot did very good.
Well, they say they're going to give the pilots and the crew, awards for the wonderful job that they did do.
Yeah, you get a year's supply of free vodka.
And obviously some corn from the cornfield. I suppose landing in a cornfield, there was not that it matters at all, but at least there might have been a little bit of because it was fully grown corn, there may have been a little bit of cushion there to take the weight of the plane.
True. Yeah, and slow it down so it wouldn't have slid too far. But, they were lucky, very lucky indeed.
So when you say it will glide, so if it's at, 1,000 metres, you'll be able to glide 16,000 metres. Is that correct?
That's correct. 16 to 1 is the glide ratio. I mean, gliders, for example, like the last one I flew, a German one with very high aspect ratio wings, could glide 55 to 1, which meant if you were 1,000 metres up, you could glide for 55,000 metres, you know. But jets generally, with the drag from engines that are shut down, they glide at about 16 to 1 ratio.
What speed would the plane have been doing when it was landing?
He probably couldn't get full flap because of his lost hydraulics. So chances are he was probably doing about 200 knots, which should be about 330 kilometres an hour, something like that.
That's pretty fast going into a cornfield.
Very fast, yeah.
Yeah, wow. He's done a wonderful job. What are other problems that pilots have in reference to flying into things flying into engines? Is it just mainly birds?
Yeah, it's mainly birds, although I know a case of a corporate jet where the silly pilot didn't check the refueling cap and the door and the cap came off and went down the engine and destroyed it. Because the refueling point, single high-pressure refueling point on some jets, is just at the front of the wing near the fuselage.
So right.
You've got to make sure there's nothing loose that can go down an engine, that's for sure.
Here's another question for you. At what height do you not have that problem? What height do birds fly to?
Well, normally, I've passed eagles at 5,000 feet soaring, but what surprised me, migratory birds at night, small ones. I was coming out of Singapore in a Boeing 777 one night, still climbing just south of Kuala Lumpur, passing 17,000 feet at night, and a small bird bounced off the windscreen, killed him, of course. But
yeah.
So it was one of these migratory small birds that obviously migrate at night.
At 17,000 feet?
Yeah, I was stunned. You know, I thought, no, that's not supposed to happen. Didn't hurt the aeroplane, of course, but...
Well, Dave was just saying you'd think it would be too cold and they couldn't breathe in that air. It'd be, if 17,000 feet, the air'd be very thin, wouldn't it?
Oh, cranes, they have to cross the Himalayas. Well, the Siberian cranes, then they go down to India in winter. They cross the Himalayas. They're probably getting up to about 25,000 feet.
Really?
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, they manage... Birds have this very good lung capacity, I guess, the migratory ones.
What's the general altitude that you cruise at once you've finally taken off and got to your cruising speed? What are you sitting at? How high are you?
Oh, if you're heavy in an airliner, you're at 35,000 feet, and if once the fuel burns off, you go up to about 41,000 feet.
Right. And you never have any birds up at 41,000 feet, I imagine.
No, other aeroplanes can be a problem.
Yeah, really? Are you tongue-in-cheek there, or are you being serious?
Well, we don't have to worry in this part of the world, but I was heading out of Dubai, going a fair way back in a 777, in cruise at 32,000 feet over Iran.
Yeah.
And I just heard on the radio a guy trying to call, it was a Russian four-engine IL-76 military freighter, and he was coming down, and of course, you're always separated by 1,000 feet, and the rule is east odds, west evens. So I was going west up to London at 32,000 feet, And I caught the end of this guy's position report, and he was at 32,000 feet. And I thought, but he's coming on our airway in the opposite direction. So but we couldn't get hold of Iran, Iranian air traffic control, because the radios were bad. Their radios are always bad. So I sidestepped 5 miles right off the airway, and sure enough, on our display at 40 miles, there's this Russian freighter coming down. And if I hadn't sidestepped, we would have had a head-on collision.
My goodness. Oh, dear. Thank you for talking to us this afternoon. It's always a delight.
It's a pleasure. Anytime.
That's Captain Byron Bailey, as I said, former RAF pilot and commercial pilot with Emirates for many years. So there you go. The Russian pilots, they are going to be heroes in Russia.